These are the kinds of continuing. These are the kinds of process that prepared the ground for and eventually gave rise to the movements of 1968. Being processes of the longue durée, their unfolding spans the entire lifetime of the capitalist world economy. The explosions of 1968 and their aftermath can be interpreted as symptom of the fact that the system is approaching its historical asymptote. 1968, with its successes and failures, was thus a pre-hide, better, a rehearsal of things to come. And you do understand what they're saying, that they are looking over the course of the entire capitalist world system, 5 centuries plus. So when they say they are looking at 1968 as a rehearsal, that is not speculation. That's for sure. They have been studying the long-term structural trends that are bringing to us the outcomes of 1968. And as they are about to say, that's in flux too. That's in movement too. And that it depends on us. 1968, a rehearsal of what? If 1968 is analogous to 1848 as a failed world scale revolution and as a world historical great rehearsal, for what sort of world revolution may it be the great rehearsal? Can we, on analogy, project today's underlying secular trends, specify what was new about yesterday's new social movements, and thereby sketch in advance likely trajectories of the confrontation and progressive social changes they suggest? As we move chronologically towards the 1990s and the 2000s, our historical social system, the capitalist world economy, continues to be faced with difficulties in 4 principal areas. First, the interstate system is marked by a military standoff between the U.S. and the USSR, and the evident inability of either to control matters of consequence in states of the periphery. Hegemony is giving way to its conceptual counterpoint, the condition of rivalry. The possible realignments of alliances between the 5 major actors, the U.S., the USSR, Russia today, Western Europe, Japan. Wow. That we really have to think more about this. Totally, totally, totally. This whole question of hegemony is giving way to its conceptual counterpoint, the condition of rivalry, the possible realignments of alliances between the 5 major actors, the U.S., the USSR, Russia today, Western Europe, Japan, and China are only now beginning, as they write, 30 years ago. And everyone is approaching such realignments most gingerly and most fearfully. And when they say everyone, they're talking about the power guys. The global state statesmen, right? Those looking at that whole quote unquote world order, trying to figure out their place in it and how to keep their people quote unquote subjected. Those realignments are only now beginning, as they write, 30 years ago. And everyone is approaching such realignments most gingerly and most fearfully. Hence, U.S. hegemony is being eroded without any clear and therefore reassuring world order to replace it. Eurozone? No. U.S. can't do it. You see what I mean about the dynamism of the moment, about how everything is in flux. Everything is on the table, is up for grabs. Let's grab our lives back. Come on. Come on. We are not going to have a moment more opportune. They are ready to roll in global fascism. They just got to get all their players in line behind it and get us locked down by figuring out how to lock down, how to nullify the internet and the capacity it brings us for organizing globally on a world scale. Literally, we can organize a global strike overnight if the consciousness is there to do it. If we start talking about it, if we put our agenda out in the streets, not be afraid to say the so-called illegitimate thoughts, the thoughts not sanctioned by the official media. We have to make our media the only one that matters. The people's media, the media of our voice, our voices in the streets. And let those seeds blossom in multiple safe places for planting.